This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, where we left off last time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The title of this chapter is The Mystery of God, or The Sacred Secret, or The Three Earth and Heaven Ages. Let's hear it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This epistle, beloved, I write now unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter says, I'm writing this to the same people that I wrote 1 Peter, that would be the tribe scattered, or to, here at the end time, the very elect. Paul said these things were written for our example at the end. And he says, I want to stir up your memory of what I have taught you, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and the commandments of us, the apostles. That you might remember what I taught you from the Bible of prophecy from Jeremiah and from Isaiah and from Paul. And from me, Peter, of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, for, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So he says, at the end of time, as the time goes on, even Christians are going to say, it's been a long time since Jesus said he was coming. Maybe he's not coming. My grandmother looked for him and he didn't come. So maybe he's not coming again. So maybe we can kind of go back to our old way of life, you know, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So many Christians even are not looking for Jesus to come. If you were looking for Jesus to come, you'd live differently.
Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant.
Now, anyone who's willingly ignorant, he's talking about Christians, it means you do not choose to study God's word, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to be smart in God, in God's sight, wisdom, it comes from God's word. If you don't want to be smart, you're willingly ignorant. So he says, Peter said it, don't get mad at me, they're willingly ignorant. In other words, a person who doesn't study God's word has chosen to remain ignorant, because wisdom is in God's word.
That by the word of God,
by the Bible,
heavens were of old.
The heavens were of old. Now, I'm going to just tell you what he means here, and then he's going to explain it more. He's really saying that there was a first earth age before this, and he will explain. See, most people don't know that.
And the earth standing out of the water and in the water.
Okay, there was an age before this. There was a heaven. And the earth looked like it was void and without form. It was squashed and smashed, and water covered it.
Verse 6, whereby the world that then was.
World, those of you who are passing this on to others, is Greek. This was the original Greek, eon, which means age. The age that then was. Okay. It was, it's not now, so it was, it's gone, it's the first earth age.
Being overflowed with water, perished.
That first earth age is gone. So,
When you look at the earth, as Peter describes it, standing in the water and out of the water, you say, look, the earth in his picture looks like it's without form and void. Void means empty. Now, when you create something, it's got to have some kind of form, even if you're a lousy artist. It's going to have something there. It's not going to be empty. If you sculpt an angel, it may look like the devil, but it's going to be something. So what happened here? Genesis 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, period. We know that everything God does is perfect. So when he created the heaven and earth, a long time passed, and the heaven and earth were what? Perfect, okay? Yes. Would it be void? No. Would it be without form? No. Isaiah 45:18, God says, I did not create it void. I did not create it without form. I created it to be inhabited. So here is Peter, and he's seeing in the first earth age, this earth, okay, something happened to cause it to become without form and void. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And it became without form and void. Now, I know your King James Bible uses the word was. It was without form and void. Was is in italics. Any time in the Bible something's in italics, God didn't say it. The translators made up the word to make it make sense. In this case, they messed it up. The Hebrew word is tuhu vabuhu, it became. So God created it perfectly, and then something caused it to become without form and void, standing in the water and out of the water, and caused God to do away with it. So, this is the mystery of God. What happened? In the world that then was, there was a beautiful cherub called Lucifer, Isaiah 14. He was very beautiful. He was wiser than Daniel. He was a great musician. His body made music. And he was an anointed cherub. He worked his way up to the highest position in God's kingdom. He got to guard the mercy seat. But after a long period of time, he fell in love with himself. And instead of wanting to guard it, he wanted to sit on the mercy seat and have everybody worship him. Now, here's where you come in. Where were you? You were with God in a spirit body. God says, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Romans 8:28-29, whom he foreknew, knew before he did predestinate. Ezekiel 28, Tyrus is Lucifer, is the devil. He's got plenty of play actor names. God said, Tyrus, Lucifer, I made you the perfect pattern until sin was found in you. And you walked among the stones of fire. God is a consuming fire. The stones of fire are called jewels of God, the children of God. That was you. You were not in a flesh body. We were all born, created the same time. There was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no age. In the book of Job, after chapter 38, God says, Job, do you remember when the sons of God sang and shouted for joy? Sons of God, children of God, angels, stars, minus the flesh. So we were all there. So what caused God to shake this earth? When Satan said, I will be God, Lucifer did. One third of God's children immediately said, yes, Lucifer, you can be our God. And they ran after him. No loyalty whatsoever, Revelation 12. Now, throughout the Bible, you'll see that there were a lot of others that didn't do so well either. There were the lukewarmers, which is the worst of all. Jesus says, you make me sick to my stomach. I'll spew you out. You're lukewarm. They sat there and watched the show. There's nothing worse than a Christian who won't fight, who will see the evil and never get up and fight. But there was one little group that got up and fought with Michael the archangel against the dragon, the devil, Lucifer, and his angels, Revelation 12. They're called the elect. God held a judgment, Romans 8. Everybody was found not guilty. The wages of sin is death. It's this high treason in heaven. So they should all die, except that little group, and they were judged. But God asked them, he said, I've got a plan. Now we're going to find the plan and going to find how you got from there to here. Is everybody understanding so far?
Yes.
Okay.
7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now...
But the heavens and the earth which are now, heaven and earth, age which are now. Okay, that one's gone. That was the first one. What is this one? The second one. So he brought in the second earth age and he cleaned up that water. Jeremiah 4 says it was packed with water also. He mentions that too. But God cleaned it up and made it habitable again. The only thing about this second earth age, it's never quite in its right place. That's what we wouldn't be having the hurricanes and the extreme colds and things if it were in its right place. What happened then? God got everybody together. God could have killed all of the children except the ones, because the wages of sin is death. That's treason. But he loved his children. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. Here's what we're going to do. Let us make man in our image. He was talking to you, us, angel, and the angelic beings, children of God, minus the flesh. I'm going to make you a flesh body to look like you do now. We were ageless and we weren't sick. We weren't old then, okay? And I'm going to send you one time through a woman to be born again. Born again means to be born from above, born from God. One time to come through in the flesh. And God says, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to make me a body, and I'm going to come as the Messiah Jesus, and I'm going to come and pay the sin debt that you just did. That's when sin began. And so he brought in the second earth age, and Jesus came and paid the sin debt. So everybody who breathes on this planet in this thing, you mostly, most everybody betrayed him. You came here for your second chance to ask forgiveness, to accept Jesus, and then if he left you alive here, to help the elect get the word out. The elect in every generation have been sent out to bring forth the oracles of truth, the mystery of God, which you're hearing now. That's it. And they were chosen. In each one generation, he had to have somebody he could trust. And so this is why you're here. You're not here to have fun or a family or a career or a job or a house or land. You got it all mixed up. It's all because of that. You're just sojourning. This is not it. This is not it. This is the test. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
So here we are. You came from the womb. If you betrayed him there, the memory's forgotten. To accept Jesus, God put somebody before your face before you died so you could hear the good story. And now, if you've heard the story, you help those elect get the word of God out and do your part.
Same word are kept in store, preserved unto fire against the day of judgment.
So he says the second earth is going to last until judgment day. Now, we're going to talk about Judgment Day. It does not actually come when Jesus returns. It comes at the end of the millennium, the 1,000 years, then the great white throne judgment and the lake of fire, and all evil will be burned up, but we'll get to that. So he just tells us, okay, we're going to have this one until after the millennium teaching.
And perdition of ungodly men. 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing.
Peter uses the word ignorant a lot, doesn't he?
One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Okay, what's he talking about there? He's talking about we're in the second earth age, and there is coming what is called the day of the Lord. It's called the seventh trump. Everybody say seventh trump.
Seventh trump.
Okay. Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. We're in the fifth trump now. It's a time of learning. That's why you're hearing this all over America. This is why you're hearing this body of Christ. And so Jesus comes at the seventh trump. That's called the day of the Lord. When Jesus comes, we will all, lost and saved alike, those who've been deceived even by Antichrist, will do the body change, will change into our spiritual bodies, 1 Corinthians 15:52. And Jesus will be right here. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, for one long day with a Zadok, the elect, teaching right here on planet Earth, not up in the air flying away like a bird, right here on Earth. It's a long day, but it's 1,000 years. But remember, in the spirit body, we don't get sick, we don't get tired, we don't have age or anything. So that's going to be quick. So he's trying to say that that's how long this second Earth age will last. Y'all understand?
Yes.
Yes.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness.
Peter says the Lord hasn't forgotten his promise. There's a reason why he's delaying.
But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish.
The reason Jesus is waiting to come, first of all, every soul must come from God and pass through this generation. While I dislike seeing the sexual promiscuity, and I know families that just drop off babies like little rabbits, the only good thing I can say is at least the souls are coming through. And when you think about all the abortions, those little people get a free ride. They at least were born of women. You know, they came to do their part. Every soul must pass through, and there might be someone else. It might be you listening to me right now. He's waiting for you to repent. He's waiting for you to accept Jesus. He's waiting for you to have eternal life.
But that all should come to repentance. 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
The day of the Lord. Now, what's that? That's the seventh trump. That's when Jesus returns. He comes at the last one. Antichrist, the pretend to be, the devil with his Jesus costume on instead of Christ, comes at the sixth trump. Six comes before seven. So, how does a thief come when you're not looking for him, right? If you knew a thief was coming to your house tonight, you'd have a shotgun ready for him, wouldn't you? Okay, come in, buddy. Blah. Okay, yes, you would. That'd be okay. That's legal. And but see, if you a thief, you don't know when the thief's coming. What it means is that according to Revelation 13, the whole world will be deceived and think the Antichrist is God. Anti means instead of. He will come with lies and wonders. He will say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. It's going to be a big Christian revival in the deceived part of the Christian church. Matthew 25, 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. Half the body of Christ will be calling the Antichrist Jesus. So you see, nobody's looking for the Lord. They think the Lord is here. The world's married him. The deceived part of the church has married him. The only people looking for him was a few little elect, a handful of people on this planet. How about that? So he comes as a thief. That's what that means. Y'all understand?
Yes.
In the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise.
The heavens are going to roll away like a scroll. Right now you see the heaven up there? We're going to see it part like a scroll, like the Bible scroll like that. And then there's a great noise. What is the noise? The seventh trump. The sound of the trumpet. Hallelujah. The joyful sound.
And the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Elements in the Greek is rudiments, false teaching, false lies. There's going to be a meltdown of the lie that Antichrist is God. The Christians deceived are really going to melt down because they really do love Jesus now, but they were willingly ignorant of the Word of God and would not study about the coming, about the seven trumps. There's a meltdown of that. Why is the fire mentioned? Hebrews 12, 29, God is a consuming fire. And so the heavens roll back, and we're going to talk about that fire like the heavens on fire.
The world thereof and the works that are therein shall be burnt up.
All rudiments, false teaching will be dissolved because everybody will realize they're believing a lie at that point because now they'll see the real Jesus coming.
11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what kind of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation?
Conversation lifestyle. So since you know this is the fifth trump. You know the sixth trump is about to happen, Antichrist. You know his time has been shortened for the elect's sake. Mark 13, Revelation 9 tells you how much time. I don't have time to teach that right now. And then you know the seventh trump is Jesus. You know this. So what should you do? You look for him coming. Do you know he says that for those who look for his second coming, since there aren't very many, the Christians are going to think he's here. You understand? If you married him and think Jesus is here, you won't be looking for him. Those of you who look for him is going to give you a crown just because you're looking for him. Hallelujah.
And Godliness. 12. Look for the hastening of the day of the coming of God. Mm-hmm. When the heavens being on fire.
That's what I was getting to, the heavens being on fire. Okay, the heavens scroll away. The scroll rolls this way and rolls this way. Whoa! Looks like fire in the heaven. Hebrews 12, 29. Our God is a consuming fire.
Revelation chapter 1, Jesus, his eyes are like a flame of fire, his feet like a defined brass as if they burned in a furnace. Jesus is so the light of the world, exquisite, sparkling light. Fire is so beautiful, it looks like the heavens are on fire. God is so big, he's so omnipresent, he's so omnipotent, he's so omniscient, he's so beautiful. It looks like fire up there, but it's God.
Amen. Shall be dissolved, and the melt. Elements shall melt with fervent heat.
God said it twice for emphasis. The false rudiments are going to be gone. The lie has a meltdown when the truth shows up.
13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth.
Now, Peter says, I'm not going to leave you hanging there. There's going to be the third heaven and earth age. Revelation 21 says God the Father's going to bring the heaven of Jerusalem down. What will happen after the great white throne judgment? And Satan and everybody who's lost will walk into the lake of fire and be gone. That begins the third earth and heaven age. Same mud ball, same heaven, but rejuvenated. The plates put back in order. True north will be true north. The buttercups can again bloom in Alaska. Everything is beautiful. Paradise restored. Every one of us given our inheritance and our election. Heaven on earth, the third heaven and age. No sickness, no death, no age, no sin. One God. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit will live with us right here on planet. Heaven restored. Paradise restored.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness.
There will be no sin. We will all be righteous. You know, the world is so full of sin now that you can feel it. It actually burns you and stings you through the telephone, through your cell phone, through the media messages. You could just feel the stuff coming in at you, and it's just like you can't go anywhere without, shall we say, stepping in it, and it's a sin. And all of that will be gone. What we'll do in the new heaven and earth age, we'll drink the living water of life, we'll breathe the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach, the fresh air. No sin. So you see, it's sin that makes us sickness. It's sin that causes the death. We won't have that. We'll be holy. Don't you long for purity? Don't you long for everybody to be holy? To worship your God truly from a pure heart, and that nobody's sin, thinking of themselves and hurting people anymore. Loving God and loving each other. That's the way it'll be. And if you can't do that, you won't be there.
Yeah. And wherefore then, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found with him in peace.
He encourages you to be diligent, be steadfast, stay right, you know, just stay steady with God, be true, and trust him. The Bible says so many things about the diligent. It's really a really sign of great character to be a diligent person. It says, he that seeketh good procureth favor. That means God's favor. If you're always seeking good, seeking God, you procure favor. The diligent hand shall bear rule. See a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So you be diligent. What God has shown you, stand steady. Don't waver. Don't turn away. Stay steady.
Spot and blameless. 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation.
And understand that the reason Jesus seems to be such a long time coming back, that he's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody who will be to be saved. Not everybody's going to be saved. But see, just one person, one more person might be saved. But again, remember that every soul has to come through one time. And if, even as a baby, he would come, they were born again. They were born from above. That's what born again means.
Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, threatened unto you.
He stops, and very humbly Peter gives Paul his credentials. He says, Apostle Paul has told you these same things. He said, the same thing I'm writing to you, Paul has told you this, so you can trust that. He gives his credentials there. You know, Paul wrote of going to the third heaven. It means the third heaven age. God actually took Paul to see that, our future heaven on earth home. Wouldn't you like to see that?
Also, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things.
Paul writes about all of these things in all the letters he writes.
Which are some things hard to be understood.
He says some people think that Paul's writings are hard to be understood. They are not. I'll tell you why they seem to be hard to understand. It's because they don't know the mystery. See, you can't just start here with us being dropped off at Hollywood and Vine without a babysitter. It's like everybody thinks, plunk, I'm dropped here. Oh boy, this is my life. Let me get money. Let me get fame. Let me get me a guy. Let me get me a girl. Let me get stuff. Let me get stuff. And then boom, it's over. Wait a minute. The whole picture's wrong there. And so, see, when you know the mystery, you don't get so caught up in this because you know you're just sojourning. You do what you have to do, but you mainly do God's work, and he'll provide the rest anyway.
Yes. They that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures.
Those people who are unlearned in God's word will wrestle over what Paul says, and they won't understand about the world that was and the world that then was, and they'll fight over it. I was listening to two different preachers. One was preaching Romans and the other was preaching Romans, and they were so mixed up on the whole thing and said, this is hard to understand. It's not if you know that Lucifer rebelled in the first earth age and that's why we're here. Let's just keep it simple. That's it. Everybody that you meet is here because of what happened then, one way or another. And most everybody betrayed him. There were a few. How many people do you know who totally sold out for God and filled with the Word of God? Not many, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not very many. And so God sends out to keep that light going. But he wants everybody to be saved. He loves you.
Unto their own destruction. 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before.
Now see, you know this before the Antichrist comes. You know this before Jesus returns at the seventh trump.
The way thereof, of the way of the wicked, the error of the wicked.
Beware that you don't fall off into the error of the wicked. Beware that you don't get... You just start getting bored and take things for granted and stop studying your Bible and stop loving God. Beware that you don't get settled down in front of the TV set and don't get busy about God's business. Be careful. Keep a high watch. Discernment of spirits. The devil just loves to find a Christian who's too comfortable.
Fall from your own steadfastness.
See, you could trip up. There are going to be many Christians who will worship the Antichrist. They didn't take time to study deeply enough to be, so they wouldn't be ignorant of God's word. And they're going to worship him, even though they do love Jesus. But see, to worship the devil again, remember why you came.
18. But grow in grace.
Grow in God's unmerited favor and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Study God's word. Seek to know the mysteries. Seek to know the heart of God.
In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. So be it, and that's that. The sacred secret. The mystery of God. Now I have to say the mystery and the sacred secret continue to the garden where Satan beguiled Eve. Paul writes about that, beguiled exopatio, wholly seduced, so you'll understand the whole picture. I do pray that all of you now know why you're here and you'll focus on that more than on the troubles of the world. You're not of this world, you're just in it. Next week we'll begin a brand new exciting book, Jonah! But you're going to hear about Jonah what you never heard about Jonah. He's going to be your hero when you find out why he really would not want to go to Nineveh. They've been not telling you the truth. We're going to tell you the truth. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment. Let me introduce you to Man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was a great book. I mean, what a timely book for right now.
Isn't that?
Isn't it? We see the scoffers. We see everything happening right now.
Yes, we need
God's
it right
alive.
Now.
God's word's alive. Sure is.
Thank you.
Okay, our question today. What is the name of the demon that has twisted the media and causes so much turmoil right now?
Leviathan is the name of the demon, Scott. It's mentioned in the book of Job. There are two beasts there mentioned in Job. One is Behemoth. That, it means the dinosaurs. In the first earth age, the animals were in the flesh. The dinosaurs were in the flesh. So that's when they roamed the earth. And then when God smashed it, that's what happened to them. They became extinct because God smashed it. But there was the other Leviathan. He's like the crocodile. The crocodile grabs his victim. Let's say he got your arm. And he puts his teeth in the arm. And then the crocodile spins, which makes your arm break off from your body. And he spins and spins and spins until he breaks you and has control over you and kills your will. And this is what happened. This Leviathan spirit has taken over the media of the United States of America and has spun the lie until the American people are just filled with the turmoil and the tumult and the lies. We no longer have journalists. They are spinning under Leviathan's attempts. But of course, God is bigger than this, and we're praying against that. Greater is he who is in us than he was in
amen,
the world.
Amen, amen.
Well, you know, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say that we see that right now in like Isaiah's word that about the woes, where he tells us, woe to those who make bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter and
yes.
evil for good and good for evil.
Good for evil.
That's the twisting. That's the separating. Yeah.
Twist it all up. That's right.
Yeah,
twist
sure
it up.
Is.
That's awesome.
True.
The twisted word. That's what it is. And even in the pulpit. Well, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
When I was made in secret, thine eyes did see my substance. And in thy book, all my purposes and my inheritances in you were written. All the days of my life were ordered and fashioned in your book, when there were yet none of them. How precious also are they thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Psalms 139.
Psalm 139. That is so fitting. He said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
Amen.
Made all our members. Thank you very much, Scott Mercer. That is beautiful. Before I pray for those of you sick who are sick, let me pray for those of you who are lost. You're here to get saved, so let's get saved. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I ask that all my sins be forgiven.
I ask that all my sins be forgiven.
And washed away.
And washed away.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in your Word.
And use me.
Use me
to produce much fruit.
To produce much fruit
in God's vineyard.
In God's vineyard.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that in a minute, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number a little bit later on at the end of this program. So please feel free to call and leave that message. Let those of you who are sick, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Holy Spirit, that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings, up and down the skeleton of the body, the skeleton of the body, repairing, strengthening, making whole. Where there is brittle, make it strong. Where there's any kind of a bone or skeletal structure out of order, put it back in order. Painlessly now move. Move, move in order in Jesus' mighty name. Divine order in the skeleton of the body, top to bottom, inside, outside, every part of it, from the head to the soles of the feet, in the name of Jesus. So be it. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if that was you, you call and tell me that too. Will you do that? That would be just great. Don't forget, Sundays, 5 p.m. here at my school, Word and Prayer. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Thursday, Scott meets me here from 12 to 2. We pray for the world. You may call in, walk in, or just give us a prayer request. We'll pray for you. Don't forget the radio, WMIEFM.com, on demand, all kinds of books of the Bible on there. And tell everybody about Saturday morning, 91.5 FM. Why don't you start having little breakfast brunches there and start helping the audience to increase. We love you and God bless you. Remember this about Jesus. He said that his name is called the Word of God. And he said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now remember that not anything is ever given to you to keep. Everything that God gives to you, you give away. Don't worry, he'll restore. You give it to someone else. These beautiful truths you get, it is a sin for you not to pass them on. Remember why you're here. No, just keep your purpose in mind. Ask God to put someone so you can go and tell them what you heard today. Everybody in the world needs to hear this. You would have a little bit more of understanding why you're here, and it might help you get straightened out and get on with your life. So remember that about Jesus. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson. And we say we love you and thank you very much for listening to us. And we pray for you, even though we don't know all of you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord give you some kind of great joy this day. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Until next time, remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth. How can I find you?
your way. Hey, that's a lesson that we're taught. But I know things eternal can't be sold and can't be bought. Amazing grace is something I could never hold. And I know love and mercy are outside of my control. But I'm reminded of a ransom paid beyond my worth on a hill outside the city where heaven kissed the earth. Because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy pouring over me, because of that grace, I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Hey, some believe they can make it on their own, but only in the end to find they're really not that strong. But I believe, ooh, that if I choose to live by faith, that God will give me strength to make it each and every day. But we are lost without a Savior to save us from ourselves. For it's only by the grace of God that we can live to tell. Hey, because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy for me, because of that grace, I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Yeah.
Who of us can say that we are worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ? All that we can do is simply offer Him.
Because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy, Lord, it's pouring over me. Because of that grace, I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Because of that grace, I've been set free. Thank you, Lord. Hey. Because of that blood.
Clean heart. clean home. I know all my broken places like the back of my hand. It slaps your face again. Wash me in your love and hold me tight like a baby till I have no memory ever breaking your heart, your heart. Put in me what I cannot buy with gold. Put in me, oh God, come restore my broken soul. Put in me what I cannot give myself. Put in me. In the joy when you restore me, I will stand and walk again. I will run into this world. I will call them to come in, but I will not point my finger or grow that wicked skin that cannot remember what I will not forget. How I broke you, or how I'm broken. Put in me what I cannot buy with gold. Put in me, oh God, come restore my broken soul. Put in me what I cannot give myself. Put in me a clean heart. A clean.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Respond to your struggle one